Very pleasant. Good morning. I'm so glad to see everyone. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer concerning Jo and the doctors and those waiting upon her, if y'all will bow with me before we get into the word. Our Lord, our God, you are so good to us. You are the great physician. You designed us. You took a hand of dirt and made these precious bodies that we have to live in. And Father, we live a long time, and not like the one mentioned before, but many of us live a lot longer than they did even in the first century. Father, that's due to a lot of the medical advances, but also a lot of mistakes are also made from time to time. We pray that you will be with Jo, our wonderful sister, that you will be with the doctors, nurses, clinicians, the tests, those who read the tests, those who clean things, all those that are waiting upon her at this time. We pray that you will guide all of those individuals, that no mistakes, no problems would be advanced, but rather just good, honest treatment so that she may be back normal again. Father, we know that we live a lot longer than even your design, a fourscore sometime. And Father, we pray that we will understand that these things do happen to us, and that we will be letting these stepping stones that we go through in life be stones that will be moving us closer to the eternal home that you prepare for us. You not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Father, may we be that way. May we help others to come to you as well as we go through this life, that we might be able to hear those words that you coined in when your son was on the earth. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy. Good to see everyone here today, and talking about Paul, here we see on the screen what I'll be talking about today, and that is his calling for us, and I hope and pray that even though this may seem like it is a very simple lesson, one that we may hear about quite often, the school has started this weekend, so I'm going to no doubt hear some of these young people, male and female, sit down and they're at some point in the time, they're going to reference the idea of their calling or who it is that they are serving or seeking to serve and such. And so often people may reference this kind of event, and I think it would be appropriate to maybe spend a little bit of time on all of us being prepared to answer such a question as that. The majority of us are in Christ already. We are on this journey looking toward the finish line for us all ahead of us. And so with the confusion that is propagated in the religious world, I thought it would be appropriate for us to look at this just for a few moments this morning. Hopefully not laborious at all. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 and verse 14 as well, it says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved, by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you. He chose us for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which it says, by the Spirit, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there we see that he chose us, he has called us, but how is that done? Well, it is done, of course, as we see there in the passage, it is done by the gospel. So who is called? everyone is called. God is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. So originating from God, God is calling his creation to respond to this call. Another place in Revelation, he says, I stand at the door and knock. But do we open? Do we open to that invitation? By natural means, the word, it's from the very beginning. He called us from the beginning. By the goodness that he has demonstrated in his creation, when we see the beauties of the nature all around us, we see the marvelous vessel of clay that we live in. It screams there is a loving creator behind it, because we can't even figure out how this thing works completely. And yet people will always revert it to Mother Nature rather than Father God, who created even the vessels that we occupy called bodies. And the goodness of God that he put in us, he put seeds of goodness within us, that when we ignore those things and go against the goodness that he put in us, well, then we are being polluted. We are being called by the darkness of this world, and it's not going to work out like God intended for it. Even Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. And so we want to be part of the chosen ones. But before we develop this more, I must go through and give some definition for the word church. Even though we might know that, let me quickly point out that the word church is part of this calling. It simply means an assembly, and it's used in a secular way. In Acts chapter 19, we can see that it was used for an assembly. They had come together, what we would call a mob today. Most of them didn't even know why they were called out like that. In Acts 19 and verse 32. In verse 39, again, that group that had been called out, it was referenced. It says that we'll make inquiry and we'll determine in a lawful church or assembly or ecclesia is what the word is there. So there's secular uses for the word church, and it has nothing spiritual about it. But then there's 79 other times in the New Testament where it is specifically talking about God's people. Can be all of God's people throughout the whole world, or it can be a local group like what we are a part of right now this morning. And so that's the word church, and that fits into this calling, because it says that the meaning of the word is the called out. And so that's what we're going to be developing this morning as we look and see some of those elements about our calling. First of all, we've already noticed we're called by the gospel. So what is the motivating force that has moved us by God's word to lead us out of something? We're called out of it. We're called into something. And so let's consider some of those elements involved in this. First of all, we're not called in this sense by man or even by family. How many churches do you know that you might call that church a family church? You know, everybody's related to everybody. And I've known of people not even to go to that kind of church, although they may be perfectly right in God's sight, but because they may not be part of that biological family, they just choose to go some other place. So that's really not what we should be looking for or being moved by, and that is whether it's just, okay, we go there because that's our family. You know, basically that's all that is. Well, so we're not called by family. We're not called by man or traditions of our family or man. We're not called by a spiritual experience. There's a lot of churches today that are called because they go to a place where there is a spiritual cleansing or an emotional cleansing. They may have been initially drawn to this church, maybe by a dream or a vision, or maybe even a perception of calling that dream or that vision. Oh, that was the Holy Spirit moving me toward this. Well, no, that's not what we are to be called by. We're called by the gospel, and you do not see people move that way. We're not moved by visions or even perceptions that we perceive that that must be the Holy Spirit. Often I hear the young people say, I had a dream. And this dream was about, and they'll tell me all of this dream, all of this wild things in a dream. And so I'll tell them, do you know that thing only lasted 30 seconds? And they said, what? Oh, hours. No, it only lasts about 30 seconds. All right, we dream real quick when we go to... Okay, but regardless of the biological part, that's not what calls us. And we're not called by the majority. One time, I was talking to this person, studying with this person. It's been several times. Talking to someone, and they said, how can so many people be so wrong? And I usually followed up by saying, well, what did Jesus say about few and many? And many times, because of that, they don't know that verse. And I say, God said, many there go into destruction, but few there be that find the way of life. Jesus said that from the beginning. But that's not what calls us. Majority or movements or masses of people is not, you know, remember the secular one is it, what are we here for? What caused everybody to come out this way? They didn't even know why they had come. Is that what churches sometimes are made up of? I hope not. And we're not called by popular personality. Oh, did you hear brother so-and-so, man, he's powerful. He made me feel so good about myself. Or some other way that they're drawn to some kind of personality. That's not what we are drawn by. That's not what is calling us. So there's so many more of those kind of things that we could reference that we could be here for hours. But let's move on. So what are we called from? You know, we're called out from something in order to go after that. So what are the various things that we can say that possibly that has been our down time of life, the dark time, the sinful time? So what are some of these things that has caused us to realize, this isn't working out good. This is just not good. I need to do something. And so there's a lot of these. And so let's look at them. First of all, he says that we're called out from the world that we may be able to be right in his sight. And so this is part of what we are called out from, the world. Now, what does the world look like? Well, just look on the internet. You'll see it. You'll see all kinds of things that would be associated with the world. And by the way, the world is a powerful force. I remember one of the very first young people gatherings at our house. I believe it was you, Hunter, that I got up in a chair. One of the weakest, not the strongest, one of the weakest. And I got up in a chair and I said, okay, I want you to pull me down. I'm standing in this chair. I want you to pull me down, and I'm going to try to pull you up in the chair. And let's see who wins. And I think I had Hunter stand there and catch me if I did fall. And so anyway, so here we go. And it's tug of war. He's trying to pull me down. I'm trying to pull him up. Guess who won? The one pulling me down. And then everybody sat down and I said, now why? Why did they win? I'm much stronger than them. I could probably pick them up over my head. So why did they win? They had the world on their side. Just like gravity holds us down, the world has a pressure upon us and will try to, it's a powerful force to pull against us trying to reach out towards spiritual things. The world also has on their side that they can confuse. And there's a lot of confusion in this life. And the world strongly intimidates people. You may have heard that story or maybe even been part of a situation where a teacher sent someone to the office to get something for her, and while she was gone, she says, okay, I'm going to ask a question, and I know the answer is wrong, but I want every one of you to raise your hand that is right when I ask this question when they get back. And so then the student comes back and answers that, and then all of a sudden, she said, and by the way, she asked this question. And so everyone that thinks that this question is correct, then raise your hand. So everybody in the classroom raises their hand, knowing that's a wrong answer. And the fellow that went, he starts looking around, and he raises his hand. So when we're surrounded by people that are saying wrong is right and right is wrong, what are we going to do? Now's a good time to decide that. Because peer pressure is very strong and the world is full of it. And by the way, everyone, when it's not even staged like that, everyone has an opinion, and most of them are bad opinions. So the world is not a place for us to dwell. We need to be called out of that. And so then also there is the confusion associated with that. And again, that's not going to work out good. We've been called out of sin. Sin is no place to figure out a moral compass. When we're involved in sin, we're practicing sin. We've been taught that we need to sin. We even may be hooked on sin. We've already been brought into slavery concerning sin. That's not a place where we're liable to start looking for because we're so heavily involved in it. We've been tainted. We've been poisoned. And so we've got to understand that when God calls us to get out of that, then that is going to be not easy to do. The moral compass can only come from God above. And so if we happen to be a slave to sin, what do you mean by that, Ricky? Romans chapter 6 talks about this. And if we happen to be hooked on, everybody understands and sees someone's hooked on drugs. Dear friend of mine, just recently, I think he was like 20 years old, son, overdosed, died. They called me brokenhearted. We cried. We prayed. And so you think about this, you say, oh, yes, there's a lot of people hooked on sin. It's just like people can get hooked on drugs. But it doesn't have to be drugs. It can be marriage. Marriage. If we, when someone marries somebody, then God Himself is the one that hooks them together. It is the word bond or do, and it's the idea of a permanent, like super glue. They're super glued together. God Himself makes that bond. And so you only get one chance to do that. And so you got that, and so that will be your first husband or wife for the rest of your life. And so when you look at that, you think, okay, wow. Well, let's say that one of them decides to go after sin. Of another flavor. And so maybe it's not something that would be against God's law to permit a remarriage. And then the one that's left behind says, well, God wants me to be happy, so they go and marry another person. God doesn't grant that. So when you look and you see how God spells everything out, everything He says is right is right. Everything He says is wrong. Right is always right, and wrong is always wrong. And it's never good to try to come up with middle ground. And so we're called out of this sin. And we cannot put ourselves in slavery to sin by making a marriage covenant with someone else that God is not making the bondage, the bonding together to be joined to one another. And so that's not going to be good. And so, all right, so there's something else we can be in bondage to. The children of Israel were in bondage by the law of Moses. When that law was nailed to the cross, Colossians chapter 2 says, then they were freed from that bondage of the law of Moses that they were trying to hold to. We're also freed from the emptiness that this life gives us. How many, I would say anyone that's over 30 here, has been at a point to where you have just felt totally empty. This bad thing happened, just nothing is going right. Everything is just turning upside down and backwards, and so you just feel so alone in that, and it absolutely causes you to have this emptiness inside. Well, God calls us out of emptiness. It's a false effort to make this life have the most important thing there is in life. That will actually end up empty. There are many, many millionaires that are empty. Oh, they got robbed of money, but they're empty inside. No one can feel that except for God. Doesn't matter what you have of this world, that will not fill that empty hole in your heart. That hole is shaped in the form of God, and He's the only one that can fill it. You ever felt like you just don't belong anymore? I see some nods. No realization of God's presence. Now, this can be brethren. This can be Christians. That is, if you've got a religion, a faithfulness to God in practice only, not in relationship, then, you might feel like you don't belong. Because maybe you don't. But when we look at a verse that, like 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, through the knowledge of Him, He's called us into what He wants us to be, and He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. What is the focus of that verse? Just the Word of God? All the answers are there. I tell the kids that all the time. Or is it God has all the answers? You see the difference? When we read God's Word and we see what love is, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, then there's the answer. There's the answer 90% of the time of what's going wrong in our life. And thus that helps us with relationships, it helps us with life, it helps us with so many things. And so no spiritual family might be able to help us in that. Only God can feel that not belonging. And of course, God saves us, calls us out of our lost condition that we may find ourselves in. And so this is important to keep in mind, that what we have been called out from. And why am I bringing so many people? Rich, I've known this forever. Okay. Sometimes we forget where we started. I know where I started. I was an angry camper. I got angry often. Now, those things you lose that over time, because things have been so much better in serving the Lord and such. But sometimes it may be fruitful to remember where you started. Because if you forget that, you may end up thinking, well, I feel
Look at my life. I have pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. No, you haven't. God is the one that is making us. He's shaping us. And we've got to be ready, willing, and always able to recall what He called me out of. What has He called us into? What has He got us into? Well, I'll quickly go through these. He's called us into light. Marvelous light. Out of darkness into His marvelous light. He's called us into freedom from sin so that we don't have to be a sin of that anymore. We put that behind us, and He's given us the ability to say, I'm free at last. I'm free at last. Thank God I am free at last. He's given us freedom from the bondage of law that they were delivered from. Romans chapter 7 brings out. He has also given us a life that is full of meaning. You don't have to get up every day saying, well, I don't know what I need to do today. Let's see. He's given us a scorecard of a lot of things that we can work on, and you can start with those verses there, and that is love. Love. It's patient, kind, not envious, boastful, proud, haughty, selfish, rude. 1 Corinthians 13. And what is the greatest commandment? To love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And what is the one of the most important things as far as my church family is concerned? To love your brethren, and by this all men will know that you're my disciples indeed. So we can start there if you want this meaning and you want it refreshed and to give yourself, okay, I've got to improve here, got to improve here, got to improve here. That'll fill your life. I've been working on 1 Corinthians 13 for 50 years, over 50 years. And I have not mastered it yet. What has He called us into? Well, remember that God-shaped hole in your heart? God is the only one that can fill it. In Ecclesiastes, that tells us about life as Solomon in his parting words. He said, here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments. For this is man's all. This is the whole duty of man. It's the only thing that will make us whole. The only thing to get rid of that which is missing. He's called us into a life of belonging as well. Belonging to who? Well, I belong to my wife, yeah, but hey, there's something more than that. A lot more important. I belong to God. And He calls me His own special person. Every one of us, when we're in Him, we are specially His. You ever had that grandmother or some close relative? You know, they hi, how are you? Good to see you. Come on in, family. Come on in. Oh, hey there, sweetheart. And she picks you up and she puts her lipstick all over you. You know who I'm talking about. Okay, you think, I'm her special one. God thinks we are His special ones. He's going to greet every one of us that way. You remember in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 11, it says, for so an entrance will be abundantly given to those who add your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance. And all those things, we work on those things real hard. An abundant entrance. What does an abundant entrance look like? Think about that. What is that going to look like? God promises it. And so we will certainly belong. We've been adopted, and that not only just adopted, we have an inheritance like one that is adopted that has part of the treasure that He only can give. He's also written down our name in the book of life. He's the one that's the only one that can do that. But we can have it blotted out. I didn't put this down. Revelation 3 verse 5. Having your name blotted out of it. We don't want to do that. Our name's written there. We need to keep it there. We have an eternal wisdom that this world just doesn't understand. So understand that when we're following the wisdom of God and doing what He wants us to do, the world is going to go, really? You're doing what? And it may be 100 different things that God would want you to do, like being honest, or telling the truth when it's really going to hurt you, or any number of things. Outworking your fellow employees and they're trying to make you slow down so that the job can last longer. I mean, there's 1,000 different ways that we're going to look weird. It's an eternal wisdom that will lead us through life. It will be rewarded, maybe not here, maybe it will be here. Because one of the very most important thing an employer is looking for, listen to this word, it's hard to say, integrity. If you didn't hear me, integrity. Christians should reek from it. And employers really appreciate it. God made foolish the wisdom of this world. So therefore it says, let him become a fool that he may be wise. 1 Corinthians 1 and chapter 3. And if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives all men liberally without reproach. So what exactly is he really rescuing us from? What, I mean, Ricky, can you spell that out? You talked in generalities. What does that really look like? What is it that is actually the horrible things that I should be looking for to avoid in life? Well, okay, let's go. Poverty. He's rescuing us from poverty. I'm not talking about cha-ching. I'm talking about a grace. He is making us rich in His grace. What does grace mean? How does that fit into the picture? The idea of grace is an undeserved gift. An undeserved gift. And so I really blew it today, and therefore I've just, oh, I know there's going to be things to pay. Then all of it, an undeserved gift. Wow. I can give you 100 stories. Some of you have your own stories. By the way, share them. When you see God rescuing you because of your sincere heart before Him, and He gets you out of the trouble that you really deserve to be in, that's the time to say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. God did that. Let's don't make ourselves blind to where we can't see His handiwork and His involvement in our life. What else is He rescuing us from? From unrest and stress. There's a lot of things that this world and the dark elements of it will put us into a tailspin. Going like the plane that went down, I guess it was yesterday. I mean, it was flat and it was spinning around that way. And everybody died. If we're on a plane like that, no, let's just put it on the, what if you're on a ship? Well, you're the only one, maybe with a partner of yours, you're the only two Christians on that ship. There's 274 other people on that ship, and you're the only one that is a child of God. And you pray, And in that case, Paul was the one, and God sent an angel and said, everyone's going to be saved, but everybody's got to stay on the ship. 174 other people were saved from death only because Paul, and I think it was Titus, is that right? Titus was on the ship with him. Really? Yes. How many times have you done that? Now, the answer is, you've never done that. But how many times has God done that because you were there? We don't know. But we can know that it does happen. Rescuing us from worthlessness. I don't have to look any further than my family. My family, before, not underneath my genes, but before, train wrecks, everywhere you look, train wrecks, because they're following what the world says, or the pride and glory of, look what I can do. I've got a sister that thinks she's a mermaid. I don't think you will get to meet her, but anyway, that's it. I'm saying, really? You're kidding me. So, it's train wrecks. What is he rescuing us from? Death penalty. We deserve death, that is eternal separation from God, but he redeems us instead. He gives us a reward. He actually takes care of our penalty that we deserve. Yep. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. What we deserve, and what we were born into is to be a civilian in this world. I am a child of, what would you say, Georgia? I'm a child of the U.S. I'm an American. And identify with that. Or do we identify more with, I'm a soldier of the cross? Now, when was the last time you thought of yourself that way? I'm a soldier in the Lord's army. And we are defending our Lord and his word and helping people to also be scoring this victory. Maybe this might be applicable to many of us. My character. Oh, I've got this. I got him. Good, great, great. Oh, Ricky, but what about this? Oh, we don't go there. We don't talk about that. Let's not bring that up. So can we bury our head in the sand where we've got weak spots and get away with it? No. We've got to be truly honest to let God fix everything about us. Ephesians 4, two chapters here. I'm not going to read them, but you do it. Chapters 4 and chapter 5 is a whole laundry list of things that he wants us to be able to straighten out. There's a lot there. And so that will get rid of all of that today on, tomorrow off, on, off, on. No. That's not the way that the Lord would have us to be behaving. And the last thing on this, rescue, there's probably many, many others, but our purpose. If you went for a job at XYZ company and they gave you a employment application that had one question on it, besides your name and such, the question is, what are you all about? Let's say I'm going after an electrician job. And I'll say, I want to make certain that all the human race is good and they don't die from fires caused by electrical problems and things like that. You know, is that what I'm saying? No. What defines me? Who am I? What is it that really, if you had... You might try this. A friend of mine, I've told this before. put on Facebook, I want everyone that is friends with me to answer this question. What do you think is the most important thing in my life from what you've observed?
Took courage to do that. He did not like the answer. He was almost crying as I was talking to him about it. What is it that people say defines you? Who am I? What kind of idea do I have about my purpose in life? What is it that people are seeing? What is my mission in this life? What is it that people see and understand? Who I am? God gives us that purpose. He gives us that mission. He gives us that answer to let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. And then the mission is teaching all them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And I'm with you. I'm with you. I'll be with you. I have your back. You will never be in this alone. So no matter how traumatic this mission may become, I've got you. Don't doubt at all. I'm with you. And he has been. So are we called? Yes. Yes, we're called. We're called by the gospel. And that's always been the plan, even from John is quoting from the Old Testament, and that everyone that has heard and learned from me comes unto the Father. And so there is how we are called, when we listen to what God says. But really, really, are we listening? In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, talking about this is actually talking about the Olympics. They had Olympics back then. And he's actually appealing in this language as we read 1 Corinthians 9. He says, Do you not know that those who that are in the race all run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may attain. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things, and they do it to receive a perishable crown. But we put forth this kind of effort to have an imperishable crown. And I run, I don't run aimlessly. And it, for example, boxing. I do not box as just one that beats the air, but I discipline my body and I keep it under control. Lest after I've been preaching to others, I myself am disqualified. I haven't kept up with the Olympics this last 2 weeks because of the way it started. But I normally do. And usually just about every time someone gets disqualified for something. Matter of fact, I think I did see one where their foot went over the starting line that far. And that disqualified from the prize, even though I think they finished first. So we don't want to be disqualified when it comes to this race that is going up, not out. We want to be able to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord." And you might think, okay, well, you mean to tell me I've got to sweat and train. I got to get up at 4 in the morning and begin that training. And then I got to get up at, you know, go till midnight to finish that training every day. I'm not going to answer that. You answer it. When do we get off from training? When we leave these bodies behind. While I'm in it, I've got to be all in or nothing. And it's not just to win, not just to squeeze through the door. We're going after the goal.
Not physical. We're not talking about physical things here. We're talking about spiritual things. And the truth is, everyone who runs in this race with a view to win, wins. Everyone can receive the crown. So it really just comes down to it is, you know, Ricky, you're actually suggesting here that something is really strange. I mean, I must train and work myself with training like the Olympics, really? I don't think I signed on for that. I just wanted to become a child of God, and so that's the reason I went and I was baptized. But have you ever noticed what God calls us after we do become a child of God? It says we're born again. We receive a new life. We walk in newness of life, he says. We are a new creation. He is a new creation. All things have passed away. All things become new. We have a new mission, a meaning, a goal, a hope, an approach to life. And the way Paul put it, he says, I do not count myself to, I've not achieved this yet. But one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching or lunging forward to those things that are ahead, I press toward the goal, to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. There's one more passage that talks about the Olympics training in Hebrews 12. He said, therefore, strengthen your hands that hang down. And your feeble knees. He's talking about boxing, yes, boxing. And make straight the path of your feet. There's running. So that the lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. So it all just comes down to this question. Are we up for the challenge? Are we all in? Somebody's going to get the prize. Why not me and thee 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 and thee? There's enough reward for everyone. God is planning for everybody to be there. That's who's called. But who is chosen? If you're another child of God, you can be one today. Why not be all in for Him? To be able to rise and walk in newness of life, to be born again, to be one of His children. It's up to us. Every one of us has been called. Let's make certain we're chosen.